bit of a while. We spend a good deal of time going through the mitzvah of Yibum and looking at a number of the major issues there. One of the things that we emphasize, especially in the Hakdama Shir and the overview of Tanakh, was the idea of Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav, that notion of Yibum as being a way of keeping the family together, both continuing the legacy of the brother through offspring perhaps, and also caring for the brother and for the brother's widow, etc. And we're going to explore that a little bit today as well, in reference to Chalitza. Really, you know, there are three main issues in all of Yivamos. There's Yibum, Chalitza, and maybe the issue which drives everything is the question of Zika and Isser Yivam Lashuk. I hope to return at some point to some of those issues. Maybe when we do some of the later Prakim, where a lot of those issues come up as well. So today we're going to look at Chalitza and hopefully explain some of the Gemaras that you've done and maybe one or two Gemaras that you haven't yet seen. Okay, let's take a look at the Pesukim very quickly. We've read them already once, but now let's read them with an eye on Chalitza itself, the tekes, the ceremony of Chalitza, the goal of Chalitza, what Chalitza is all about. So Pasuk Zion. Well, Pasuk Vav first tells V'haya ha-bechor asher teiled yakum al shem achiv ha-meis v'lo yimachesh shmo mi-Yisrael, which certainly gives us the impression that the idea of Yibum is to preserve the name of the dead brother. V'imlo yachpot ha-ish l'kachas as yivimto v'also yivimto ha-shara Ela zakenim v'amra me'en yivami l'akim l'achiv shem Yisrael lo ava yabmi. It's unclear why there's so much repetition in that verse. The karu lo ziknei ro v'dibru ela v'amad v'amar lo chafatzi l'kachta. He affirms and confirms the report. He does not want to take her as a wife, or as a yivama, we should say, with the Tosas written in mind. V'niksha yivim to ela v'leinei hazakenim v'chaltzana lo me'al raglo. You take the Yavam, you bring the two parties together in front of this Kanim, you remove his shoe, the Chalzana lo mi'al raglo, which is where we get the name Chalitza from, but there are more components to it. The Yarka befanav, and she spits before him, the Ansa v'amra, kacha yaseh li'ish asher lo yivnez beis achiv. The Nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis Chalutzana. So these pesukim, though we're familiar with them, are very strange. The ceremony itself is pretty strange. Three components to it. There's at least three components to the actual chalitza. There's other components before and after. There's a lot of amirot back and forth beforehand. You bring him, she reports, he confirms what?
It's about himself.
Right. She responds. So we have chalitza, we have rakika, we have amira. All these parts, how do they interact with one another? Is one of them primary, secondary, etc.? That, when we do mitzvahs chalitza, which I hope we'll do. Do they have mitzvahs chalitza on that list? Okay, good. So when we do that, we can go through the actual ceremony and the component parts and analyze them. And there's a machlokas about which ones are ma'akvo, which ones are not. And that's fascinating. The whole ceremony as a composite, though, certainly is unique in the Torah. The fact that it has so many parts and spitting and, you know, saying and removing shoes, it's all very strange and really requires some explanation if we can explain it. You know, you could just say that's the way it is. It's important to note that this chalitza does seem to be a chiddush of the Torah, meaning Tamar is waiting around after the death of the two sons of Yehuda. It doesn't sound like chalitza is an option there. That seems like chalitza is a way out, and we understand that it's a way out. Sometimes they're incompatible. One's old, one's young, the Gemara talks about. Sometimes it's not a good idea. Sometimes we worry about Abishol, about what the kavana of the Yavam is going to be. So,
Saris.
What?
Yesterday, the
brothers and the Saris. Right. The question there is whether there's any Zika at all. Right. So certainly the advent of Chalitza and allowing her to marry other people makes sense and is a positive. But the ceremony itself is very strange. What it accomplishes, how it accomplishes it, and how do we identify each of the component parts. Okay. That's what I want to try to talk about in the next couple of chaburos. The one thing that I'm not going to spend a ton of time on now, I want to get to it maybe later, is really the comparison with Get Isha. We did a lot of that with Yibum. That was a lot, you know, kind of looking at the nature of Yibum, both the chalos and the process of Yibum, and comparing that to the chalos and the process of Ishus. Rambam's Hiknul and Shemayim, the Tosas Rid, saying even the chalos is different. Others who kind of minimize any of the differences. That's very important when it comes to chalitza versus get as well. The pasuk regarding get is a lot more terse in its description of what's going on. It's certainly much less ceremonial. But do they accomplish the same thing? Are they both about het or isha? And would they be governed by the same dinim? It's a very, very important Reb Chaim explaining the Rambam that chalitza and get are fundamentally different, le'inyan das. That when it comes to das, and as a result of that, when it comes to shlichus and tanai and a whole host of other issues, edekiyum, there is a gulf between get and chalitza. Why that is, we're going to get to at another time, but I do want to discuss that, and it's the part two of the discussion of Yibum and Zika, comparing them with the institutions of Ishus. You need to then compare the institution of Chalitza with Get Isha. And the Gemaras and Kiddushin really go through that and have very suggestive hominess. Why can't you use get for a yavama? Why can't you use chalitza for in lieu of a get isha? All those hominess and maskanas are fascinating. Do we reject them? Are they fundamentally dissimilar? Are they fundamentally alike? What's the nature of the heter chalitza? That Reb Chaim, trying to explain that Reb Chaim, I think it all goes back to, at least within the Rambam's psak, to Hiknu Lo Min HaShamayim, which was very important in terms of understanding the process of Yibum. It's also critically important in terms of understanding the nature of the heter of chalitza and why it's different than Get Isha, but I don't want to do that now. That's kind of like the first thing on the sheet, but we'll come back to that. F, you had a question.
I was going to say, as a starting point for the difference between Get and chalitza, chalitza is more of a bidyada. Get is more of a lefachila. In terms of kolol yibum chalitza,
okay.
Chalitza is viewed.
You don't mean a bidyada. You mean it's standalone. Get stands on its own.
Standard.
Chalitza is more of a, well, if you're not doing yibum, then you can do chalitza. B'makom yibum chalitza eino mitzvah.
The way I would say it is, get is a positive. And chalitza is a lack of a positive. Get is a negative, and chalitza is a lack of a positive.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. In Reb Chaim's terminology, or at least the way Reb Chaim is translated by the Rav and Rav Rosenzweig, get is a yetziras chalos, and chalitza isn't. Why that is, you know, get is an active matir. It's not that it's you were saying it's get is an active matir which requires das habalagarish and requires edikim and allows the baal to appoint the husband to appoint shliach and make tanayim. Chalitza is not like that. The question is why? No one's really tried to explain why that is. Why is chalitza something that
lack of a hamashem?
Right. So is it only that? But she was asur beforehand, and now she's mutter. So is it just because she wasn't an Ashes Ish beforehand? It was just the lav. So the stakes are lower. You know, you're not erasing. You're not being matir a status of Ashes Ish. You're just matering the status of Zika. So I think it's more than that. If you push, keep on asking me, I'll probably give away. I think the main, just in a nutshell, we'll hopefully look at this a little more. Just like the Zika is created min hashamayim, hiknu lo min hashamayim. So too, the heter is not under the control of the two parties. They perform the ceremony, and whatever the ceremony is designed to do, whether it's designed to be matir her, or whether it's designed to embarrass him because he's not being making shemachid, or it's designed to do something else, which we'll explore, the actual heter doesn't result directly from their actions. They do their he does the actions, or she does the actions, and the heter comes about min hashamayim. I really think the hikn lo min hashamayim results. It's only ishus and get, which are generated through the das of the parties themselves, that are considered kind of transcendental chaluyos, as opposed to chalitza. But we'll prove that and delve more into that as we go along. What I want to try to do today is, instead of analyzing the matir and comparing it to get isha, to ask, you know, a question that's even more basic, which is, what is chalitza at its essence? And how do we understand the different elements, not the different elements of rikika, chalitza, and kriya, we'll get to that too, but if there are different aspects, not to the ceremony of chalitza, but to the essence of chalitza, what are each of those aspects, and how do we explain them? So, luckily, there is a rich amount of material on a lot of these issues, and we're going to spend a few minutes exploring the more well-known issues, and then I want to spend more time working on some of the lesser-known issues, mostly because it's an opinion that's expressed in the Yerushalmi and only has echoes in the Bavli. So let's take a look. So the first issue to discuss is the idea of chalitza as a mitzvah. Right? What is the mitzvah of chalitza? Can we classify chalitza as a mitzvah? Some monia mitzvahs don't count chalitza as a mitzvah. Either they group it together with yibum. If you don't do yibum, then you do chalitza. It's all kind of one mitzvah. They don't count it as a mitzvah at all. It's just a way of being matir her, let's say. Okay? The Urayim and the smak, I believe, do not count chalitza at all. However, a number of others have noted that some of the terminology in the context of chalitza does appear to give it the status of a mitzvah. The parak itself is called mitzvahs chalitza, which the Nitziv, in both his Merome Sadeh on Shas and in the Shiltos, the Nitziv makes a very big deal about this and says chalitza is a mitzvah. And maybe even more so than get. Get may be like a parsha. This is what you do when you're getting divorced. But chalitza really has stature to the process, and it itself constitutes some kind of mitzvah. One of the issues that comes up, the big nafka min in the achronim, is let's say neither party wants to go ahead and do chalitza. Let's say there was a couple married for 75 years and they never had kids. And she's 95, and there's a brother who's 92, and, you know, neither one of them is interested. Not that they couldn't, not that old people don't get married. I hear that's always fun. I always like those. But let's say they don't care. They're both ill. They're both, like, is there any urgency to go ahead and do chalitza? So that's part of this issue. There's a Chacham Tzvi on it. There's a whole lot of discussion. The Nitziv says that you must, because of the idea that it's not just a matir. There's also this mitzvah, and there's a mitzvah chiyuvit aspect to it. It's not just if you're going to go ahead and want to get married, you have a mitzvah to do it in this way. You have an obligation to do this mitzvah. What is the significance of that mitzvah?
How do the Rishonim deal with the name of the parak that they don't count?
So they would say that mitzvah here is more loosely, here's the process that you're supposed to do. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosh dayanim. Like, the way to do chalitza is with three dayanim. It's not, you know, there is a mitzvah called chalitza, and here's how you do it. It's just kind of a looser terminology. That's what they would say.
I think, like, when it comes to by Kedushin, the second paragraph when it says, mitzvah will use
from Right, so according to the Rush, what does he do with that lashon? Right? So there are other examples of that, and similar examples where we're not so sure how to carry, are these partials, are these the way to do the mitzvah way to do stuff?
Same
is like this.
A mitzvah,
right.
Is how much of a mitzvah is it?
Right, but here
so
it's
a mitzvah.
By chalitza, it's attaching it to something that.
I don't know if it's stronger or weaker here. I'm not sure.
I once heard like Wolsey quoted or Bednarsh saying that that the Rav used to say that
the Gemara.
Cooking for our Shabbos based on that Gemara is like is a chiyuv d'oraisa. Right. Mitzvah d'oraisa because it's called mitzvah.
Right.
Just because they get the
right. So again, the mitzvah chalitza is just one terminological raya that the Nativ has. He has other stuff which he thinks backs that up. What is some of the I'll leave three aside for now. We're going to have to break this into two, but I don't want to break it into too many parts. Okay, so let's instead look at the other aspects. What that mitzvah would be, and why we dafka use these ceremonial aspects is an important question. I have a few makorot for that in source number 3. You know, the mashmaut of the mitzvah. What's the symbolism? The svarno has some stuff about the spitting and the removing of the shoe. And the Hagos Maimonios quotes the Bahag, who also has a very interesting theory. I just don't want to spend a ton of time on that because it'll take us too far afield. I think the mitzvah of chalitza, for the Rambam, it seems like the mitzvah of chalitza is to resolve the status. She shouldn't stay zakuka. It's not a natural status to stay, and she should go one way or the other. I think that the most predominant idea of the mitzvah of chalitza, and this is the Sfarno and some other people's take, is the idea of making known the ihakamat shem achiv, the fact that he has opted not to continue the legacy of the brother, is something that requires a ceremony to announce that fact. And that may explain some of the spitting and the amira and the removing of the shoe. We'll have to talk about specifically the removing of the shoe. But that I think is one of the major ideas, and there's a lot of evidence that backs up the notion that kind of the mitzvah chalitza is this I hakama shemach, the denying of continuing the legacy. One of the interesting examples to that is that even if we normally allow gerim to serve on a beis din, which is a big issue in of itself, the Gemara makes it clear in mitzvah chalitza that gerim cannot serve on a beis din for chalitza. In fact, the Rashba says even if you have one of your parents is a convert, you may not be able to serve. Even if you're a full-fledged Jew, you're Horaso Bikdusha, and Leidasa Bikdusha, if one of the parents is a convert, that might disqualify you from serving on a beis din of chalitza. So there's a drusha, which the Gemara uses, but I suggested at one time that the idea there is, since chalitza is really about affirming the significance of yichus and affirming the significance of hakamat shame, then we may not allow. It's not necessarily because they're of a lesser dayan status, but for this ceremony of which dramatizes the importance and emphasizes the significance of yichus and hakamat shame, etc., it may be that the judges have to all be fully yuchasable types of judges. That's just one area where you might see an element to that. And of course, there might be mitzvah and matir. The rakika might be a mitzvah, and the chalitza might be the matir. That gets into kind of assigning conceptual significance to each component. Okay. What I really want to spend a lot more time on, not talking about the matir and not talking about ihakam hashem, which I think are more well-known ideas, is to take a look at an aspect or an approach to chalitza, which seems to be prevalent in some mishnayos and at least in some amoraim, and to explore that so that we have a better understanding of both yibum and chalitza. Okay, and part of this also touches upon the kol olu yibum olu chalitza. What's the relationship between them? Can you have a chalitza when you don't have a yibum? Which we've seen that you can have. Others' statements seem to say that you can't. Take a look at the Yerushalmi in under the heading of number two, the Yerushalmi in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. Okay. Okay. There's a very interesting machlokis between Rav and Shmuel that's cited in the Yerushalmi. This does not appear in the Bavli, but it is in the Yerushalmi, about the nature of chalitza. And there are a number of practical ramifications which result from this. Just take a look at the bold. It should be Rav. That's a, you know, the Yerushalmi has a lot of typos. Rav Omer Chalitza Kinyan. Shmuel Omer Chalitza Ptur. Rav Zira Amar Chalitza Kinyan, Rav Hila Amar Chalitza Ptur, Milan Darabon Amar Chalitza Ptur, Shimon Barboi, Kumi Rav Yochanan, Ma Bin Choleitz, Ma Bin Megaresh, which is very important for the first issue that I said we're not going to discuss at length. What's the difference between Choleitz and Megaresh? Amar Le Atzo Ver Chalitza Kinyan, Eina Ela Ptur. Okay. Ein Ha'achin Chayavin Aleha Mishum Ishtel Shel Choleitz, Aval Chayavin Aleha Mishum Ishtel Shel Meis. Okay, that's a demonstration of the difference between Cholitz and Garish. Then there's a third sheet that, just to make it more interesting, this is more about Zika. Levi Amar Zika Kenyan. The Chol Achas V'Achatzra Cholitza Mishneim. Okay, so what is this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about? But more significantly, what is Rav's position that Cholitza is a Kenyan? What does that mean? Cholitza Ptur, I understand. Cholitza allows you to her to marry whomever she wants. That's what chalitza is. But what does it mean that chalitza is a kinyan? So before we even get to that, the Rishalmi knocks the position of Rav out. First it tries to knock out Shmuel, Masnisen Palig al Shmuel. Our Mishnah argues on Shmuel, HaCholitz Liyavimto, Hu Aser Bekrovotav, Hi Aser Bekrovav, Shanya Hi Hacha Shekvar Nira Liftor. So the Gemara asks the question, well, according to Shmuel, if all Chalitza is a Ptur, why after Chalitza is Hi Aser Bekrovotav and Hi Aser Bekrovav? So the Rishalmi answers, no, because there was a Zika there. There was some relationship there. Therefore, we prohibit them from having relationships with the Krovim of the Choleitz and the Choletzes. That doesn't indicate that Chalitz is a Kenyan. Okay. But then we turn our attention to Rav. Masnisa Paligal Rav. HaCholitz Liyavimto. Someone who is Choleitz there Yavama. Vinasa Achivas Achosa. And his brother marries the wife of this chalutza, the sister of this chalutza, sorry, the brother marries the sister of chalutza, umeis, and then his brother dies, choletzes v'lo misyabemes. Then he has to be choletzes and not misyabemes. So we understand that he can't do yibam, but according to Rav, who says chalitza is a kenyan, he also shouldn't be able to do chalitza. Hada misaya lemanda amar chalitza ptur. Baram hacha kemanda amar chalitza kenyan, v'yesh adam Miskavin liknos shte achios keachas pater la lachar misa in lachar misa yibum pater. Okay, the Gemara goes on and at. So the basic question is, in a case where you end up being choleitz to two sisters, which the Mishnah says you can do, right? Your first choleitz one sister, and then your other brother marries the other sister. You do chalitza with the second sister. That doesn't make sense. If chalitza is a kinyan, then you shouldn't be able to do chalitza with two sisters. Just like you can't marry two sisters, right? V'yesh adam eskamin liknos shtei achios ka'achas. Just like you can't acquire two sisters as wives. If chalitza is really a kinyan, you shouldn't be able to have chalitza with two sisters. Mar then goes on and asks another question. A few lines down. Masnisa pliga arav shlosh achin shnayim esun shnei achios v'echad mufna mesach v'bali achios v'asa ba mufna maimer v'achad mesach v'asheni v'shamay omrim ishto imo v'aluzu teitze mishum achos isha v'ezol omrim motzi isha v'get v'ezay shazach v'chalitza adam yisayel l'man damar chalitza kinyin v'yesh adam miskavin likno shtei achios ka'achas. It asks a very similar question. How can you have two sisters who both require chalitza. And later on, four lines from the bottom, I know this is a lot of Yerushalmi, Masnisa Pliga al Rav, the Mishnah, another Mishnah, which is difficult for Rav, Kohen Gadol Shemes Achiv, a Kohen Gadol whose brother died, Choletz v'lo miyabein. Whereas, Hadam Esayel, Amanda Amar Chalitza Ptur, Baram Kamanda Amar Chalitza Kinyan, Amar Lo Avor al Divrei Torah? Right? How can a Kohen Gadol perform Chalitza on the widow of his brother? If chalitza is really a kinyan, then it's the equivalent of marrying her. Okay, so the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, eventually rejects this and says, "Elan train achrayasa." These last three mishnayos, pligi al rav v'les lahon kiyum. And there's no way to resolve rav. So you could say, okay, problem solved, we don't have to figure out chalitza kinyan. But I think we, first of all, you know, Rav knew these Mishnayos, right? Kol Tinok Shel Beis Rabban knows Mishnayos about Choletz L'Kohen Gadol and Shlosh Achin, or at least Rav would know it. And so we have to try to figure out what Rav, how Rav would respond to these Mishnayos, and what, in fact, it means chalitza kinyan. And even if we don't paskin like that, we'll see that there might be some echoes of in the Bavli. We have to try to figure out exactly what's going on. So let's take a look at the second page. Okay, so the topic for the rest of this is not general chalitza, but really specifically this idea, exploring this idea of chalitza kinyan. What does that mean, that chalitza can serve as a kinyan? If anything, it looks like chalitza's separating the two. What is chalitza kinyan? So take a look at number four on the second page. So this is the echo that we have in our Gemara. It's within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah says, "Hamapsi grushasa vanose chalutzasa vanose krovas chalutzasa yotzi vahavlad mamzer." Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that if you take back your grusha, or you marry your chalutza, or you marry a krova of your chalutza, you have to divorce her, and the child is a mamzer. Chum omre ena vlad mamzer, modi minose krovas grushaso shav vlad mamzer. Chum agree that a krovas grushaso, this is one of the differences, right, between ben grusha, ben chalutza, right? If you did makos, some of you guys are doing makos, so ben grusha, ben chalutza, ben grusha is you know, Dorite's a problem, and Ben Chalutza is a lesser problem. Okay. Question is, the Gemara asks, what about this sheet of Rabbi Akiva? Krovas Chalutzaso, why is the Vlad Mamzer? Okay. So here's what the Gemara explains. Am Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, Hainu Taimed Rabbi Akiva. It's not enough to just say, oh, Rabbi Akiva holds that all Chayvei Lavin are, there's mamzerus, right? We have to try to figure out krovas chalutza, so where's the lav? So here's the hainu time in the Rabbi Akiva, de amar kra beis chalutza nal hakasuv kra beiso. So we didn't get into the psukim that much, but that last pasuk of the parsha of Yimul Chalitza is a very strange pasuk. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutza nal, his house, we call his name in Israel the house of chalutza nal. So, what's the drasha here? Hakasuv kira'o beisa. So what does that mean? That according to Rabbi Akiva, etzim the fact that you did chalitza creates some kind of relationship between the two. And just like if you were married to somebody and then you get divorced, you can't marry her sister, and if you do, that would be mamzerus. So too, if you marry a krova of your chalutza, that generates mamzerus, because the chalitza created a status of bias. Okay. So I think this is the, you know, our version of seeing chalitza as being some kind of accomplishing positive act, We have to try to figure out what that is. Now, let's be clear. And this is what will help us explain something. Rabbi Akiva doesn't argue on Mishnah that a Kohen Gadol can't do chalitza with the widow of his brother. Rabbi Akiva doesn't argue on the Mishnayos that Rav, you know, that the Yerushalmi cites as questions on Rav about doing chalitza with two sisters. But we're affirming here that chalitza does something. So chalitza does something for Rabbi Akiva, and I think what it does for Rabbi Akiva, and the language the Gemara uses here, is a way of understanding what Rav thought and why Rav wasn't bothered by those questions that the Stam Yerushalmi is bothered by. What is that? So I think this is the point. I think that when it comes to, and Rav Moshe Lichtenstein in this book, Ma'amar Yidman, has a similar mahalach. I think that when it comes to dinei nisuin in general, there can be two different aspects to dinei nisuin. Right? There's the intimate, interpersonal dvarim beino levena aspects of nisuin, leaving aside kiddushin. I'm talking about just specifically even nisuin. I think there's two components. There's the, you know, heter bia and those things which are related to that. But then nisuin also generates what I'll call in lomdus, but it's really psukim from the Torah. It also generates a bias, a house, and a relationship between the two parties that creates halachic reality. And that's what Rav and Rabbi Akiva mean when they say chalitza does something, chalitza kinyan. It's not a full kinyan ishus, because if it was a kinyan ishus, the Yerushalmi would be absolutely right. How can you do chalitza with two sisters? How can a Kohen Gadol do chalitza? All those questions make sense. But if the act of chalitza doesn't achieve a kinyan ishus, and how could it achieve a kinyan ishus if they're not trying to build a home together? that makes sense in nisuin. But perhaps it does achieve something, an element that exists in ishus, but one which is not connected with the intimacy side and the ishus side, but it's more about the mishpacha side, the bayit element. So where do we see this? So I gave you a few psukim and dinim where we see that there is this concept of bias. And sometimes bias is not restricted to husband and wife. Right? In Korban Pesach we have Dabru al kol adas Yisraeli mor be'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yichu lahem ish selabais avos selabais. Right? That idea of selabais, which is a Doraisa idea that all the members of the household are included in the set. What does that mean? That means that there's a chalos of bias.
I was going to say in Rambam Paschal is that if you leave the bias by Korban Pesach, it's like you left the Azara.
Right.
Very strong.
Correct.
Language.
Correct.
And I think if you look there, I want to give a shiur on this. It says the word bias like 13 or 14 times. In those few psukim.
Right.
Emphasis on that.
Right. Right, right.
Shame.
Correct. And it's all about the Korban Pesach is really about the household. It's at the door. You know, that's also, I think, the whole pshat and the lot.
Yeah, we were talking about
right, this. The lot Pesach connection. Right, they're all why do lot serve matzah and all that midrashic stuff. The story of Lot and the daughters at the door at the doorway. The image there is: are they letting Sdom in, or is Lot able to keep Sdom out? And really, looking at his family, Lot wasn't successful in keeping Sdom out. But the Jews have kind of the deja vu of a Pesach now in Mitzrayim as opposed to Pesach in Sdom, where they got to put the blood on the doorpost, which is where the confrontation between the people of Sdom and Lot with the angels takes place, and they have to kind of make sure that the values It's actually a very firm message. You got to make sure that the values of the household are intact and you keep out some of the negative influences. That's why the doorpost is so important. That's why the family is so important. That's why it's the bias. Okay. Nice word. You also have Kapara Yom Kippur. V'chiper ba'adova ad beiso. Which, except for the Gvura Sari, I think everyone thinks includes more than just the wife. It includes everybody. It's not explicit in the Gemara. And with Truma, you have this notion of bias. Ulevanechel menosecha yitach lechok olam kol tohor beisecha yochal ito kol tohor beisecha yochlenu. And you have this notion of bias when it comes to neder. The truth is, you have the notion of bias applying to the girl in the context of neder or the nara, both vis-a-vis her father's bias and then over into her husband's bias. So what is this element of bias? So I think that what I was trying to articulate before is that ishus or nisuin, full-blown nisuin, usually has both of these things taking place and occurring, and we don't really notice it. You know, the hafaras nedarim and the truma and all the other dinim that relate to that come in when you have chuppah and there's a heter bia. But it could be that we might be able to be machalik between which dinim are tului in bias and which dinim are tului on the kirva and the heter bia that flows from a full blown ishus. In fact, the Gemara in Ksuvos does explore this kind of distinction. The Gemara in Ksuvos talks about what happens when you're giving over the daughter to the shluchei habal. Le'olam hi b'reshus ha'av ad shetikanes l'reshus habal l'nisuin. Masar av l'shluchei habal harehi b'reshus habal. Halach ha'av im shluchei habal. O shehalchu shluchei av im shluchei habal harehi b'reshus ha'av masar shluchei av l'shluchei habal harehi b'reshus habal. So reshus habal, does that indicate that there's full-blown yisun? So the Gemara in Ksuvos says, maybe not. There might be some dinim which don't come into effect at the time where you were musar ha-nara l'shluchei habal. It may be that she still is not a full-blown nisua. There are certain dinim which do kick in. For example, the Gemara says, musar l'shluchei habal v'zinza, harezu b'chenek. She's not mikudeshes. She's considered a nisua le'inyan eshes ish. She's eshes ish shizinsa. She's not a nara murasa shizinsa. Wouldn't be skila. Minali mili amar Rabbi Chama, ami Ravami bar Chama amar kra liznos base avia prat l'shemaser av l'shluchei habal. She's no longer considered bebase avia, and therefore she doesn't get skila. She only gets chenek. So what does that show? That shows that there is kind of this both linguistic and conceptual idea of a Kenyan bias, which doesn't necessarily overlap 100% with full Kenyan Nisuin and Ishus. Another good example of this, I didn't put this down, is Chupas Nida. That whole Rambam, Ran discussion of Chupas Nida may be influenced by this. Can you have something taking effect at a chupas nida where there isn't a heter bia? So it may be that you do accomplish bias, even though, according to the Rambam, even though you don't yet have a heter bia like you would in a normal case of nisuin. A chupas nida does do something. It generates the dinim of nisuin vis-a-vis bias, even if it doesn't generate nisuin vis-a-vis ishus legamer. Okay. So if that's the model we're working with, we have to still ask, what does that mean, that chalitza is a Kenyan bias? Why is chalitza, or how does chalitza work as some sort of, even if it's a partial Kenyan, or we're not just calling it a 50% Kenyan, we're giving the name, a Kenyan bias. Why does chalitza generate a Kenyan bias? Okay, so that's why, meaning Rob's position is still a hard one to stomach. I just don't think it's a knockout with the Yerushalmi's questions. The Yerushalmi says that's it, Rob's out. But I think based on the fact that Rabbi Akiva says something very similar in the Bavli, and we don't ask on Rabbi Akiva from all those Mishnayos, and from the fact that Rav probably knew what he was talking about too. The Yerushalmi didn't accept that we could be b'chalik between these two different things, or thought that Rav really meant a full-blown kinyan when he said chalitza kinyan. We're trying to suggest that Rav meant this idea, the tiv of that kinyan, the nature of that kinyan is a kinyan bias, not a full-blown kinyan isha. So what does chalitza have to do with that? Oh. So here we get to some of the larger picture of chalitza and ibum. So what Rav Moshe Lichtenstein suggests, and what I think is certainly an interesting suggestion, is that there could be, at least according to Rav, again, Shmuel rejects this, and it seems like we go with that position of Shmuel, that chalitza is really a p'tur, and that's why we would spend more time, generally speaking, analyzing the nature of that p'tur and that matir and comparing it to Gedisha, and all that's interesting and definitely more relevant Lamaisa. But I still think it's important to try to figure out this position of Rav and what it tells us about chalitza overall. So what does this say? So what this seems to be saying, let's just put our cards on the table, what this seems to be saying is that in the scenario of Zika, there really are two options according to Rav. The first option is for one of the brothers to perform Yibum and to continue the shame of the brother in the ideal way, and to preserve his legacy and hopefully have a child who, even if he doesn't literally have his name, represents a continuation of that brother. Chalitza doesn't represent a full rejection of Hakama Shem, according to Rav. It represents a less ideal manifestation of Hakama Shem, because you're not going to have children, but the chalitza itself is a kiyum, a way of fulfilling the idea on a qualitatively lower level of hakama shem achid. How so? So I think the way that you do that is potentially through nachala. And we talked about this before, that mitzvah begadol liyabim, and they were the ki yeshu achim yachdav, and has to be achim and av, and the connections, the deep connections between Yerusha and Yibum and Chalitza. And I think this is another area where we're going to see that connection reinforced. Let's take a look first at the Mishnah and the Gemara on Mem and Aleph. I think you guys definitely saw this, right? HaCholitz liyavimto hareyu ke'echad min ha'achim l'nachla. I'm in number 5, the first source. V'im yesham av nechasim shal av. Hakonis says yivimto zachim nechasim shalachiv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ben kach im yesham av nechasim shalav. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off by telling us that when someone is choletz, he's just like one of the brothers vis-a-vis nachla. Okay, if there's a father, the father gets. But okay, whereas konis is yivimto, if you marry her, if you perform yibum on her, then you get all the nechasim. Right, you're not just like echad minachim. So the Gemara asks the question, both the Yerushalmi and the Bavli ask the question. Let's take a look just at the question in the Bavli, and then we'll look at the Yerushalmi and come back to the Bavli. The Gemara says, Pshita. Isn't this obvious that he's Kecha Min Achim? The Gemara says, Salgadai Vamina Chalitza Bimakum Yibum Kaimi Vinishgol Kulo Nichse Kamash Malan. This is a pretty wild Havamina. I might have thought that chalitza is mamish b'makom yibum. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean, oh, since you didn't do yibum, you do chalitza. What I'm suggesting that means is chalitza b'makom yibum kaimi, and that in a certain sense, performing chalitza is an active, positive kiyum. How is it a positive kiyum? In terms of that act of chalitza is a way of transferring over the assets, the property of the brother, to the other brother. Kamashmalan, no. So is the Kamashmalan, I just did this with my students, is the Kamashmalan a full rejection of this idea that Chalitza works like Yibum in a positive sense as a Kenyan? Is it full-blown, full rejection of that? Or do we say, still, Chalitza works B'makom Yibum, and it acts as some sort of kinyan, But it's not on the same level of Yibum, which would allow him to be Yoresh everything. He kind of is Yoresh for all the brothers through Chalitza, and he's Ke'echad Minha Achim Lenachala. Right? There still is a difference between Yibum and Chalitza. Yibum, the brother who does the Yibum, gets everything. And Chalitza, the brother through Yibum, through Chalitza, is Zoche for all the brothers. Okay?
The Kamash Bach could even change the Havamina less by saying you have two statements there, Chalitza Macham Yibum Kaiva, and therefore Vinishkol Kul Chase.
Right.
Kamash Bach would just be, no, not Nishkol Kul Chase, but Chalitza is really B'Makom Yibum.
Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. It still acts B'Makom Yibum, Linyan Kinyan. We just don't give them all in a Chase. Right? And that's, when I said that there's real connection between Yerusha, Nachla, and Yibum. Another place where we see that is this idea of a bias being represented, that each individual is part of a bias. We really only find that in the case of Yibum, where four different brothers can marry her, and in the case of Yerusha, where the four brothers form a kind of bias. Now, there may be the Bechor gets two
both
portions.
Both places also from the Av, right?
What?
In both places it's from an Av.
Right, it's Daf Min Av. That's what we said. Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdav, Achim Min Av, Lo Achim Min Ahem. Okay. Ah. So, interestingly enough, the Yerushalmi just leaves it at that. Look down at the Yerushalmi for a second. Shalot Tomar Chalitza Ptur, Ubiya Ptur, Kamada Tamar Konis Yivimto Zacha Benichse Achiv Udichvasa, Holy Zivimto Zacha Benichse Achiv, Lufum Kain Tarach Memar, Harehu Ke'echan Mikol Achal Nacha. That's the Yerushalmi leaves that Havamina and says, Kamashalan, what can we do? The Bavli has a textual problem with it. I hachi, back to the Bavli, harehu ke'echad mina achim. It shouldn't say harehu ke'echad mina achim lenachala eno ela ke'echad min ha'achim mibayile. It should have said eno ela ke'echad mina achim. Right? It should have dafka emphasized that we're going from, we thought that he could maybe get everything and he's only like one of the brothers. It doesn't sound like that's what the mission is teaching us.
Rayu?
Okay. Well? Well? Rayu?
Well.
Right. So the Gemara ends up saying, Ella the ifsidam yubum likneset. The Gemara ends up, according to this version, we never really had a Havamina, but it's based on linguistic and the textual point that doesn't say Eino El Kafim and Achim, and the fact that Yerushalmi sticks with it, I think, is significant. But according to the Bavli, no, it's working in the other direction. We might have thought he doesn't get anything. No, he is ke'echa min achim. But even the fact that we thought he wasn't getting anything was just a knas. It doesn't seem like it was me thing. So I like the first half of that Gemara. And the Yerushalmi also sticks with the first part of the Gemara and says the chiddush of this Mishnah is that the choleitz doesn't get everything. It's that he's just like one of the brothers. And like I said, maybe he allows all of the brothers to be Yoresh the brother. So here's the significant point. How on earth is Chalitza a form of Kenyan? What we're basically saying is there really are two ways to be making Shemachiv, if you think about it. One is through Yibum and to have offspring and a legacy. The other way, how do we keep a father's legacy alive? In a normal case of Yerusha, it's through that Yerusha. And so one of the ways in which we could say we're being making Shem Achiv, even if we're not procreating and having offspring and a legacy like that, by the family, as a bias, being Yoresh, his stuff, that serves, it may be a poor man's version of it. It's not the same as Yibum. It may serve as some kind of poor man's version of a Kenyan bias of a Hakama Shem Achiv. Yeah.
I know that you rather focus on the first part of the Gemara, but it happens to be that the Gemara brings the more negative view of it.
Correct.
Last.
Correct. And I also think, again, that's what I said before, I think the mainstream view of Chalitza Ptur rejects this and doesn't see within Chalitza an element of any positive, active Kenyan part to it. I still think Rav's position is interesting, and we'll see there are other There are other kind of echoes of it as well. Yes?
I'm trying to figure out if the Pesukim support this or are against this when it says that Yibum, if he wants to do Yibum, so he should, the Lo Yimcheshmo be Yisrael.
Right.
Therefore, Lo Yimcheshmo. Then the question, then it says, we have Lo Yachbotzei, then he should do Chalitza.
But it never says that he's dafen not being.
I understand that, but is the logical extension of not doing Yibum that there is Michoy Shem? Or is the fact that the Torah doesn't say that Chalitza
right.
is Michoy Shem?
That's the Machlokes Rav and Levi, Rav and Shmuel. I think that's Machlokes. And what is the last pasuk? Dinikra Shmuel Yisrael base Chalitza. What is that, a derogatory pejorative? We call him the Chalitza now because he wasn't making Shem Achiv. Or Rabbi Akiva's reading it, or Rabbi Yochanan for Rabbi Akiva, that Gemara on.
It's like.
Right. Meaning, and there may be an element, the Rakika piece of it is definitely this pejorative, negative element spitting in the guy's shoe. He is ignoring the ability to be making Shem Achiv in the ideal way.
It's not saying it's still
included.
Yeah,
right.
So, like, if you want to work anachronistically and say, you know, the Megillah when you say Kachayasela Ish, the paradigm is
definitely
a positive thing.
Right.
So to, you know, this would be a positive thing as well.
But
right. Here's my question:
the Medrash makes all kinds of connections between those two. Yeah.
Aren't you just keeping the status quo here? As in, if he wasn't married at all, this is the exact same thing would happen. I would say it would make more sense if he did get everything and, like, you're keeping all of his stuff together in one piece.
Right.
And then you're continuing his legacy by having it in one piece.
That seems to be that Havamina.
But you're not doing anything, right? You're saying, you know, there's a Hakamat Shem Achid, but you're doing the exact same thing as if he didn't have a wife.
But not the same thing as if he didn't do Chalitza at all.
Or if you left this Kika.
Okay.
If you leave her as a Kuka.
Then the same thing happens, though, right? If you leave her as a Kuka, then.
What happens to the stuff? Maybe it's also held up. I don't know. It's a good question. I hear you.
Right.
I'm really just trying to explain Chalitza Kinyan.
Right.
I'm not saying, like, I believe Chalitza Kinyan, but I think we owe it to Rav and to Rabbi Akiva to try to figure out what that means, Chalitza Kinyan.
I'm just saying I think the kids would be stronger if he did get all this stuff.
Right. One, I should just say, the Ridvaz, one of the Mefarshim and the Yerushalmi, the Ridvaz on the Rishalmi says, what does Chalitza Kinyan mean? Really, it just means that Chalitza kind of cements the relationship between the two and makes them kind of have the same kind of connection as a husband and wife. And then the conclusion of Chalitza is matir her in the same way that a get isha is matir her. So according to him, what Chalitza Kinyan means is that Chalitza is both a Kinyan and then a Ptur. Why do we need Chalitza to be a Kinyan? Not because of Yerusha, but maybe you can combine this idea, but because we need to create, cement, and solidify that relationship. Zika is not enough to then undo it, because according to Rav, this is the Ridvaz's explanation, you can't have a Matir which doesn't work like a Get Isha. And so in order to create a parallel to Get Isha,
you need to create
the connection and then destroy it in the same way. Okay? But I think that idea doesn't necessarily contradict. How do you create that connection? You still have to ask, how do you build that bond if their just intention is to break apart? The way you build that bond is by accessing the Nachala through the Chalitza. And maybe we're right that if she remains as Kuka, the property kind of is in limbo and nobody can take it over. Okay, let's try to prove this point a little bit further, at least this idea a little bit further. And yeah, we're doing great on time. Good. Okay, so let's take a look. Some Rishonim al Torah actually really hint at this. Okay, take a look at the Rashbam. Rashbam says, V'chaltza na'lo, liknos mimenu yerushas achiv hames, kimo shematzinu beboaz. The chaltza na'alo, he throws us to Rus and says, what does the chalitza na'alo do? Liknos mimeni Yerushas achiv hames kemo shematzinu beboaz. The problem is, according to the Rashbam, it sounds like this is a Pshuto Shel Mikra Rashbam classic. It sounds like she gets the stuff. She gets the Yerusha. Right, liknos mimenu.
Why?
Liknos mimenu Yerushas achiv hames, from him. Who's acquiring from whom? And in the case of Boaz, the case of Boaz, he does chalitza with he's chalitz nalo of Ploni Almoni in order to acquire from him the Yerusha of Naomi's sons. So the Rashban, what's good about the Rashban is he's saying chalitza's nal, like in Rus, is a way of acquiring nachala. What doesn't work so well is that
she was getting what?
Right. Okay, so the Chizkuni might help us out, except there are two Girsos in the Chizkuni. The Chaltzan alo me'al, the Chaltzan alo mashal or k'dechziva analecha tachash uveregel yamin d'alfino rega regel mutar. Okay, the Chaltzan alo lefi pshuto, he acknowledges this isn't a halacha, fi pshuto lahaknos lo Yerushas achiv hameis. So there's one girsa that says la, and there's one girsa that says lo. The lo girsa works better with what we're saying, right? Lahaknos lo, it's a way in which the brother is makne Yerushas achiv hameis. Kemosha batzina beboaz lekayim kol davar shalaf ishna lo v'nasan l'reyeh. Okay. I gave you the pesukim there. So what are those Rashbam and Chizkuni saying? Again, the Rashbam doesn't work because it's going to her.
Why can't you say that the woman is doing a common shame? Why can't you ever have a way of thinking?
Through what?
Through Yerusha.
But she doesn't get the Yerusha lahalacha. She doesn't. If they're brothers and if there's a father, she does not get the Yerusha. It would have been great. I have a woman who's attending my Yevamos shir in my shul. And we touched on some of the Yerusha stuff, and she was like, the wife doesn't get it. You know, that the halacha is the brothers are making shame, and the wife can't do it alone. Now that may be because in those times she couldn't do it alone. There was no idea of being making shame, but it's interesting. It's definitely a fascinating. Right, she's facilitating through the chalitza. So according to this, this colors the chalitza. It doesn't affect the rakika. I still think the rakika is about bushing him for not being make him shame achiv through yibum. That's still lo. Well, the question is, the chalitza's now may be a maisa kinyan. It sounds like from them, the chalitza is now. What? It's a form of kinyan.
I'm just saying.
You're right. So you're.
Do you have the paradigm in halacha where you use rakika for anything?
I understand the paradigm for
rakika. No.
The paradigm for chalipin is a shoe. That's
right. So the Hagos Maimonius says that you use a shoe because it's ke'avel kemenude shedarken lios yachafim. The gamitipa srucha shebegufcha hayita yachol lekayim lachichazara. So they see,
so it is.
Right. So I would say that the symbolism of the shoe here is not so symbolic. It's merely just the way in which they did kinyan. I think. You're right. You could see in chalitza just like in rakika. The question then becomes the soup. The
so
kind
why
of.
Why didn't people do chalitza with a shoe always?
They might have. I don't know.
It sound like it.
I don't know.
Gemara's.
I don't know, but why does Boaz use a shoe? There wasn't chalitza there. He didn't do chalitza. He shalaf yishnalel. That was the way they did it. I don't know. Okay, last thing. There's more. There's a lot more to talk about. But I want to just point out that I think there's one other Gemara that may give us some support for this idea, and that Gemara is even in the Bavli, so might have a little bit more weight. Okay, you've seen this Mishnah mitzvah begadol liyabim lo ratza mehalchin al kol aachen lo ratza chozrin etzel gadol v'amr lo alecha mitzvah o chalotzo yabim tala bekatan ad sheyagdil lo begadol ad sheyabim min dinasayam ocher sheshote in shom lo alomr lo alecha mitzvah o chalotzo yabim. Okay, it's more than asks an interesting question. What happens if you have the possibility of yibum with a katan and chalitza with a gadol? Itmar bias katan the chalitzas gadol. Pligi ba Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chad amar bias katan adifa, the chad amar chalitzas gadol adifa. Okay. Right. This is an older and a younger brother. Right. It's not referring to a katan mamish, is it?
No.
Oh, so it's referring to the younger sibling. Okay. Why?
There might be Rishonim.
Well, I think the most understandable pshat, or the accepted pshat. I don't know, pashup pshat might be katan, katan mamish, but let's assume that it's the younger sibling who's also a gadol. Why on earth would we say chalitza's gadol adifa? So it could be the idea is that really the mitzvah is totally on the gadol, and only if the gadol is completely not interested or not around or whatever it is, then we go and look at the other ones. So chalitza, even though chalitza doesn't really do anything positive or active, chalitza begadol is still better than yibum with the other ones. Okay. Alternatively, could we say that the other way of understanding that shita that says chalitza's gadol adifa is that dea sees within chalitza a kind of 1A, 1B. Not, chalitza is the worst, you know, because you've ignored Hakam Hashem Achiv completely. But again, that chalitza does stand b'makom yibum in a certain positive sense. So I think this might be tully on the two lishonos of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, manda amar bias katan adifa deha mitzvah b'yibum. Umadamar chalitzas gadol adifa b'makom gadol bias katan lav klumi. That sounds like really the mitzvah's on the gadol, and we don't look at any of the younger siblings. If the gadol's involved, even if he chooses to do chalitza, okay. But then there's an isdamri bibia kule alma lo pligi the bias katan adifa ki pligi the chalitzas katan vachi amar hachi itmar. Chalitzas katan, the chalitzas gadol, pligaba Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chan amar chalitzas gadol adifa, the chan amar ki hadadi ninhu. Right? The machlokas is actually a different machlokas. Chalitzas gadol or the chalitza of the younger sibling. One guy says, once you're doing chalitza, who cares? The other guy says, no, chalitzas gadol. Man amar chalitzas gadol adifa, deha mitzvah begadol. V'idach ki amrina mitzvah begadol le'inyan yibum, aval inyan chalitza kehadadi ninim. So according to this daya, right, you're not doing yibum. And when you do chalitza, it doesn't make a difference, according to one opinion, whether you use the gadol or the katan, who cares? But what about the man who says, no, it does make a difference? So it's not because what the first Lashon HaGemara, b'makom gadol katan lav klum. It's not what the Gemara says. So could it be that according to this day, we see a vestige or an echo of that idea that chalitza, there would be an inyan of the gadol doing it? Why would there be an inyan of the gadol doing it? Again, if the whole idea of chalitza, or an element of chalitza, is that there is this kinyani aspect, the kinyani aspect is manifested through the bias. That bias is accessed best through the gadol, because he is the gadol in Yerusha too. So then maybe we would say we prefer the gadol to do chalitza. It's not just neutral whether the gadol or the katan does chalitza. We don't want the gadol to do chalitza because the chalitza, like yibum, is an act which is perpetuating. It's not perpetuating in the same way that yibum is. But it does perpetuate in this particular way. So, to sum up, we have to still explore the mitzvah of chalitza and what that means and its relationship to the matir, or their two dinim, is that two elements, the kriya and the rekika, are mitzvah aspects, and the chalitza is the matir aspect. We still have to do that. We still have to explore the matir of chalitza and how it relates to get, though we already started to mention that. I couldn't hold back. But then there is this third idea possible in the context of chalitza, and that is the notion of chalitza as a kinyan. What does chalitza as a kinyan mean? So according to Rav, and maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, chalitza does indeed represent some sort of perpetuating notion. It perpetuates the brother through the nachla. Maybe that means that without chalitza, the nachla would be in limbo. Would it be ideal for him to get everything? Yes, I agree. But the point is, you only are zocha everything if you also access the other element of akama shem achi, which is through yibum. Nevertheless, chalitza may, at least according to Rav and according to Rabbi Akiva, have a bayit kinyan element to it, and perhaps that's this idea of chalitza kinyan. I think it's something to think about. It also maybe changes our understanding of, you know, the relationship between yibum and chalitza. It doesn't see chalitza as you know, negative as maybe we had thought. And it then is the Torah not just giving us a way out and a way for her to be punter and mutter l'chol ha'olam. It also gives us a way of saying that chalitza, there is a kiyum involved in chalitza. So when I think bizman hazeh, I think the way in which we experience chalitza, bizman hazeh, when there is no possibility of yibum, is a little bit like this. Just, you know, maybe this is not so halachic, but like Rabbi Reis told this very interesting story when he spoke about the Agunos of 9/11. And randomly, a year or two ago, he was at somebody's Sheva Brachos, and he was like the Panim Chadashos. And the fellow pulled him over, who was getting married, and was like, I don't know if you remember me, but 9 years ago, I was the kid who did chalitza for my brother's widow. And like Rabbi Reis talked about how moving that was, how emotional it was, and what I kind of took away from that is that when you do chalitza with someone, that doesn't necessarily sever the bond. If anything, you know, allowing her to marry others is a way of kind of, you know, fulfilling an obligation in a certain way. And in our times, it's almost a way of kind of giving her more support than yibum could ever be. So I think, in a certain sense, that idea of chalitza is a kinyan, even if it's not manifested lahalacha through Yerusha or whatever it is, but the notion that chalitza, especially in a non-yibum world, represents a way of perpetuating, and not just by saying, oh, we're bemoaning the fact that there is no legacy, but that chalitza represents a way of continuing the legacy in partial, in this biased sense of keeping the family and supporting the brother and his widow in a certain sense, maybe then chalitza does represent a kind of emotional, if not a halachic kiyum.
I was just going to say, maybe from, take it one step further, from Rav's perspective, perhaps he said, to himself, it couldn't be that the Torah would create a scenario where it would be so painful.
Totally negative.
Yeah, it would be so painful for this situation to not have a continuation.
Right.
Maybe it won't be the ideal continuation of Yibum, but it can't be. The Torah would even, you know, suggest a kind of scenario like that.
Right. And then it would be very different than Get Isha, if you think about it. Because Get Isha really is kritut. It really severs the bond, and with good reason. They don't want to be together anymore. The Kedusha is gone, and we need a way to kind of be matir it. This now may even help us understand the matir and why the matir doesn't work in the same way. Because again, it's not a severer of that bond. Now we're getting a little drushy, but I think it's fascinating to think about in the way we experience and think about chalitza nowadays. Go ahead.
Shkaya.